Courier, update on Buffalo.
That car, first of all, police are blocking off vehicles from entering the area, obviously. Okay, that car was just sitting there, and it seemed to be a part of the protest.
The car was just sitting there
for a while. People were sitting on the car, engaging in a protest, and then just out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It seemed out of nowhere, and I was about 10 feet from it when it happened, so it was pretty surreal for me.
Listen to this.
The car just started taking off and rushing in the protesters, and then everyone around. You had some flee, but a lot of people just flooded the car, started breaking windows, slashing tires, kicking the car, punching it, going after the driver. And I still have no idea what the driver looks like. It was such a chaotic moment. I think I captured some of the chaos of it. I have a video up on Twitter if you want to check it out. Go to my feed at Brett Bikini. Of course, I retweeted it with the WPEM account. That was a super chaotic moment. Later on in the protest, I don't want to give a time because everything has to be looking for. So it's certainly later on in the protest. Another intense moment was when law enforcement with Riot Gear started physically pushing back on protesters, going from Mohawk, where Mohawk and Delaware meet, pushing them more towards the circle. And, there was pepper spray. It was a pretty intense scene there as well. But those are the two defining moments, I believe.
Well, I know that you are anticipated to join the proceedings for Hardline when Joe Beamer and Brenda Alacy co-host right after the 10 o'clock hour. They're on from 10 till noon, so appreciate the time.
Okay, let me recap that for you. That was the on-scene reporter, Brendan Keeney, I think his name is. He was down there, and he said one of the two defining moments of the riot in Buffalo last night was a car that was well behind and within the police perimeter that people were using to sit on and hang out, and the car was just like almost like a fixture there. Nobody questioned it, and all of a sudden, he listened to what he said. He said the car just began taking off. They didn't begin taking off. Somebody was driving that car at a high rate of speed into the crowd of people and completely throwing everybody into a tailspin, at which time they smashed the car and did God knows what to the driver. Now, I have a very difficult time believing the part that he said about he still doesn't know what the driver looks like or who or what the driver is. That's a bunch of BS. You can easily determine who gets out of that car if you have a video of the car driving into a crowd. Very interestingly, similar to the Chinese protest that occurred several years ago, where hundreds of thousands of people were protesting against tens of thousands of riot police, enormous numbers, I mean massive, beyond, I mean, football stadium full of people numbers, the police against the people. And what happened? Sure enough, some jackass that works for the police department in a police vehicle drove right into the crowd, running people over, at which time the crowd completely melted down and completely destroyed all of the police who went fleeing off in multiple directions. So, very much similar to the Chinese model, where an agent provocateur, an agitator, whether they're local or from another place, stirs the pot, throws the proverbial match into the can of gasoline, and ignites the whole thing by driving a car into a crowd of people, a car that was well within the police barricades, a car that had been dormant just until the quote-unquote perfect time when they could agitate that crowd by driving that car right into the people. So I'd like to know who the driver of that car is. Now, another interesting thing that took place after my blog last night was, the mayor of Buffalo and the mayor of Rochester and the county executive of Buffalo, Erie County and Monroe County, where Buffalo and Rochester sit, they're all saying, the county executives and the city mayors are all saying, we know that these were outside agitators, came from outside, another place, another planet, another country, another dimension. They're not from around here, and the people around here are great. They were good protesters. The bad protesters all came from someplace else. Now, and they were saying this during in the middle of the protest. The protest was an hour old. The big stuff hadn't even happened yet. There was no car driving into the crowd of people. There was no confrontation at 7-Eleven between 35 riot cops and 75 protesters. None of that had happened yet, but yet the mayors and the county executives are coming out saying, hey, we're absolutely positive these weren't local agitators. These were outside agitators. No investigation, no going over this video, no time to analyze. Just come right out with that immediate blanket statement. Wasn't us. It was us, people from out of state. I'm not so sure. Why? Because one of the callers sounded like a very squared away, intelligent young man. Sounded like he was probably in his mid-20s, who was down at the protest, called into the radio station after the report, and made the following statement. He said, when the host asked him, well, did you see that? Did you notice down there that it was outside agitators from other places, or you know, people with masks, or people we couldn't identify, or they didn't look to be local, but they came from someplace else to stir the pot? Okay, and that's a possibility. The caller said, he said, no, he said, I really did not see that. He said, what I saw was a class protest. It was poor people, people of a lower economic level, white, black, Asian, Native American, Hispanic, Latino, whatever word you like to use. It was a rainbow coalition. It was a wide mix. It wasn't just, you know, poor black people or gangbangers capitalizing on the crisis. He really did not see that. He didn't see Asian provocateurs from coming that came from another place. So that really kind of rained on the parade of the narrative that's being pushed. Hey, all these agitators are coming from outside groups. Once again, Eric the Freedom Screamer always looks to the most obvious, who has the most to gain from these protests, and it's the police and the government. Why? It looks right now like they're being on the defensive and being attacked and being persecuted, but ultimately what's going to happen in a couple of months, there's going to be a whole new wave of funding for the police and the military and the county executive and riot preparedness and new helmets and new shields and new batons and new tasers and new guns and new cars and everything. They're going to make an absolute fortune on this riot. The government loves to have a crisis because they can capitalize on it. All the sheeple are going to line up and say, those evil protesters, oh my God, we need more protection from the police and the military. Have some more money. Have some more witches' courts. Have some more of our freedom. Here, take it all. Take the farm. Take my dog. Take the car. Here, take it all. Just keep me safe. That's the stupidity that people are walking right into. So as long as we're foolish enough to believe these government prostitutes, self-appointed experts, people who claim to have all these facts and data in their possession, they have nothing but agendas and lies. So I want to know who was in the car that drove into the crowd of people. The car was fact. The car was behind the police lines, was in the police barricades. It was part of that police-protected area. Fact. The car took off at a high rate of speed into the crowd of people. Fact. We still don't know who the driver of the car is. That's got to be a lie. So I want to see, you heard them give his Twitter account, Brendan Keeney at WBEN, as a video of this on his Twitter. People analyze it. I want to know who was driving that car. Word is from the people on the ground, these were not outside agitators and Asian provocateurs from other places. They were most likely from right here in town, whether it's a group that's, you know, an actual renegade group that wants to do violence, or whether it's out of the police intelligence units. The word is that these were not local people. I don't care what the chief of police says. I don't care what the mayor and the county executive liars. They've been lying to us all along. Why are we going to believe them when they lie to us and tell us, insist on telling us, you must believe, people, that these agitators were not local. They came from other places. Well, I'm not so sure about that. So let's do our own investigation, people. Look at the video. Talk to people who were there at the protest. Do your own research. The best reporting right now is coming from regular people, just people who give honest feedback. Hey, I saw this. Hey, I didn't see that. And we need all of you out there to be people's reporters, not citizen reporters, because you know, if you follow Eric the Freedom Screamer, we do not consent to being citizens. Why? A citizen, defined by the dictionary, is a legally recognized subject, and you don't want to be no stinking subject. And the Black's Law legal definition of citizen is even worse. The legal definition of citizen is a member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community. Oh, joy. Don't you just love being a citizen? You're a legally recognized subject, which is what you are under a king or a queen or a Hitler. And or a member of a political community. That corrupt bunch of scumbags who are lying to us, that you owe allegiance to that political community. Isn't that great? You owe the most corrupt people on the planet your allegiance, and you owe them being a subject if you consent to being a citizen. So, friends, fellow freedom screamers and American nationals, do your own investigation on this, what the reporter called yesterday the sacrificial car. And that was the word of Tim Wenger, the owner of WBEN, the on-site reporter at the Buffalo protest regarding the car that drove into the crowd of people. Sacrificial car. That means, and he said, it appeared that it was specifically put there for the purpose that it was used for, which is agitating the crowd. So we have even the mainstream press now admitting that there's false flag terror going on. And that's what it is. When a car isn't used intentionally to stir up a crisis, that's called a false flag terror attack. It's called an agent provocateur. So with that, I'm going to sign off. We're going to check in with you later out throughout the weekend. Please follow these events. Blast this information out. We have to think critically. We have to report ourselves. Can't rely on the mainstream media, although occasionally they do give some good, accurate reporting. Be careful of the spin. Be careful of the editorialization. Look at what the chief of police of Minneapolis said. Look at how he's spinning it. He said we have civil disobedience and riots going on, and this is not acceptable. Notice how he bunches the civil disobedience, the protest, which is good, in with the riots and the looting. We cannot muddy the waters. Criminals are going to show up to any event. They're going to show up to a riot and break windows and steal stuff. That has nothing to do with the protesters. Pickpockets are going to show up at an NFL football game, and criminals are going to show up and rip off people at a football game. Criminals are going to show up in government and get elected. New York has over 100 elected officials who have either been convicted and sentenced to prison or convicted and sentenced to community service, fines, etc., for corruption in New York State. These are government people. We had at one time Dean Skelos, the head of the New York State Senate, and Sheldon Silver, the head of the New York State Assembly, both of them in prison, and talking about running the New York State government from prison. No joke. You can't make that up. So why would anybody believe these pathological psychopath liars and self-appointed experts? They're telling us what to do with our lives. All right, with that, it's Eric the Freedom Screamer signing off. Please get this message to as many people as you possibly can. Thanks, and follow us at Courtroom Watch. We'll be posting documents that you may find very valuable, such as the vaccine liability letter, which you're going to want to have any vaccine administrator sign before they give you or your child the vaccine. That way, if you all get sick, they can be responsible and assume the legal and financial and moral responsibility for the ramifications of the poisons that they're pushing in these vaccines. So get your vaccine liability letter in hand. Send it off to everybody in political office and law enforcement that you know, just to let them know that here's the situation with vaccines. Here's the liability that you will incur. You don't have to. You can sign it or not, but here it is. At least make sure as many people look at it as possible, because once a man or woman who is mistaken or doesn't know something finally hears the truth, they have two choices. They either have to cease being mistaken and accept the truth, or they have to cease being honest and live in their lie. So with that, I'm going to check you all soon. This is Erica Freedom Screamer, over and out.